Father, we worship You. We realize there's never been a man more alive than Jesus. It's our expressed desire to be formed into His image. In His image, in His image alone, no man on the planet, no teacher, no pastor, no prophet, no evangelist, no good righteous man or good righteous woman. Father, it is our desire to be filled with Him and to be formed into His image. Now I pray that during this communion service that we're about to partake of, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be manifest to us. And we give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can turn those lights on that. Thank you. I've asked that even the little ones stay in here this morning. And I understand that sometimes that causes an inconvenience. They will not distract me. If they distract you, then it's okay if you go out. It's okay. I will ask for a few things. Please, if you have a cell phone, if you've not turned it off, unless you're part of the Romney Obama campaigns and you're supposed to, please turn it off. I will promise you this, because I believe I'm getting it from a good source. Nothing, no catastrophe will happen. I don't care if you left somebody in critical condition, they will be all right. Please turn them off. Hallelujah. If you will, you can be opening up to John 13. And if the men that are supposed to be assisting me this morning will come, and some couple of them have jobs and the rest of them have assignments in which they do not yet know of. Hallelujah. John, that's the Gospel of John. Chapter 13. Hallelujah. These guys can bring their Bibles. I didn't tell them to start with, but they can if they can listen along. Hallelujah. And you four that I've asked, you could have a seat wherever you so desire. They're kind of following me along because I didn't even give them any instructions. I just said, they're such good guys. I said, will you help me? And they said, sure. We don't know what we're helping you. Hallelujah. Would you just take your word, if you have the word in your hand? If not, I know it's in your heart. We'll put it in your heart today by the grace of God. Just hold it in your hands and let's just worship God for this word. Father, we love You. Holy Spirit, just now. You're already in this place, but we ask for that certain anointing just to begin to flow. Just begin to magnify Yourself in this house and in this place. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You because we're preparing ourselves for an outpouring. We're preparing ourselves for revival. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Your image be formed in us. Most gratefully so, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want to begin. We will read a number of verses in chapter 13, probably up through verse 20. But let me exhort you for just a moment and bring you up to a place. This is the original. This is the pattern by which we receive communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about a communion that he had received of the Lord. And he had received it from the Lord, and he used that communion as a way primarily to bring the church together. It was the way that Paul said, I've received this from the Lord. And he said, this wisdom that I've received from the Lord, I'm going to share with you. And he said, the same night the Lord was betrayed, he took bread, break it, and said, this, give thanks in remembrance. He said this, that it was for our, that broken body was for us. And if we were able to go there this morning, which I had intended to, but he's out in front of me so I can hear him and follow him. I understand this, that he wants you to understand that what Paul was saying, the primary, if you go there and read it, the primary reason why that Paul said that the communion service was instituted in the church is because it was to bring us together. It was to bring us to a place where we had a oneness with each other. That's the primary reason. And he goes back to something that he had received from the Lord. And he said that because the... I'm lacking one guy. Yep, here he comes now. Hallelujah. He said that because there was schisms in the body, because there was a fight among the body, Paul instituted and said, this is what the Lord's remedy for that is, and it's communion. He said that because of it, because there was wars and factions in the body, and he said that many were sick and weakly, and meaning there was resident diseases that came in. But that's not, I want to say and clarify this, that's not the only reason why that people fight symptoms in their body. Recently, I believe there's been a tremendous onslaught of attacks against our body. Jesus said there's an attack that comes for the word's sake. And primarily I'm discerning and believing and prayed over you as you're praying, and know that these things have been coming for the word's sake. That's primary it. But Paul instituted and said something in his gospel. He said that the body was splintered, and because of it, the enemy had moved in. And the reason why they were splintered, if you go back to the first chapter of Corinthians, you find out that there was factions in the body, and they were receiving from different ministries. And Paul said, some of you are saying this. And he said, it's been reported to me from the household of Chloe. I always thought, poor guy, whoever that was. He was the snitch that Paul identified. And probably everybody in the church said, what? But nevertheless, Paul said, there are many of you that say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, Peter. He said, were any of these guys crucified for you? He said, no way. It's Christ. Now, this message is not about other preachers or let's have a common mind or common... But I will say this. What caused Pentecost to fall, or that's a Jewish holiday, what caused the Holy Spirit to fall at Pentecost was, the Bible says, they were all in one mind and one accord. And I can tell you this, the preludes to revival are when you and I come to a place where the love of God is so saturated, and I believe that we're coming to that place. I believe we've all had our challenges, but I believe that we're coming to a place where the mind of Christ is going to be so saturated on us in the last days that we are of one mind and of one accord. Hallelujah. Now, let's read, and if you will follow along with me, this chapter, as I said, Paul didn't come up with the first communion. Jesus was the Passover lamb. So we're going to read these verses. It says in verse 1 from John's Gospel, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not except to wash his feet, but is clean ever whit, and ye're clean, but not all. For he knew who it was who should betray him. Therefore he said, You're not all clean. So after that he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was set down again and said unto them, Know ye what I have done? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. Truly, truly, your word says verily, verily, but it says, Truly, truly, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you do or know these things, happy are ye if you do them. I speak not of you all, I know in whom I have chosen, but that the scriptures may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, that ye may believe that I am He. Truly, truly, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Look at verse 34 and 35. He says this, A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys already know where this is headed. So if you guys will please, I know it's kind of a humbling thing for, but it's easy if you'll undress your feet, please. What's that? Matt has said he's glad he showered. I am too. If you may roll up your trousers, or you can just pull them up when I get to that place. Hallelujah. We're going to make some observations as we do this morning. I hear these guys, they're saying, is it cold? Actually, it was preheated. Isn't that great? The first thing I want to make observation to is that, amazing enough, John, to my knowledge, is the only disciple that recorded this part of the communion. The other three did not. Doesn't mean they were out of sorts. But remember that John is the one that was called the one that leaned on Jesus' bosom, that was so in love with the Lord. We want to make these observations as we go along, and we won't be long, but please stay with us. Listen to this. The scriptures that we just read was after the first communion. It was actually part of the first communion. Now, Jesus said, I give this to you as an example. Doesn't mean we always have to do this. In fact, I've never done this before. Doesn't mean we'll do it after today. I don't know if we'll ever do it after today. But I do know this. This scene, if this was the first, this was not the first. The first observation I want to tell you is, this was not the first foot washing in Jesus' ministry. In chapter 12, the chapter we didn't get a chance to read here, the first actual foot washing takes place. And it was not by any of his disciples. It was not by Jesus. In fact, Jesus was the recipient. A lady called Mary, who was Martha's sister, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus they said they prepared a supper at their house, and Jesus came in there and he sat down. And while he was there, Mary came with a costly, costly ointment. And it was in a box. It was in some kind of container. And it, you know, I've heard it before. I can't remember now. It was like 2 or 3 years' wages, or maybe more. And she broke it, and she poured it out on Christ, and she poured it out on his feet, and she began to wash his feet with her hair. And as she was washing his feet with her hair, and the love of God was being poured out, really, none of the 12 understood what was about to happen to him. If we had time this morning to build a case, we could certainly build a case that Mary was so in love with Jesus that just like when Jesus said to Peter, the Holy Spirit or God my Father has revealed to you that I am the Son, I believe that the Holy Spirit also revealed to Mary that his whole ministry was that he was going to die soon. And she poured her love out on him. The disciples didn't even understand it. In fact, while it was happening and Jesus was receiving it, he didn't say anything. He just received it. And you know what religion does? Religion, always remember this, religion is so close to the real that it will have a simultaneous voice. Jesus, while he's receiving this on himself, there was somebody that started something. And the Bible identifies who it was. It was Judas. Now, I want you to think that one of these guys this morning portrays him, but we're not going to say who. And I don't want you to pick out one either. But a voice started, and it actually crescendoed. It began to tsunami among the disciples, so much so that Jesus could hear it. And the voice was a little clamor. And the Bible says that Judas started this thing. Look at that. That could have been sold and given to the poor. Does that sound, that sounds so good. It sounds like, wow. You know, because Jesus had given to the poor before, continually. Remember that at the beginning of every move of God, religion is going to come. We have to protect ourselves. We have not arrived. Please. We are on a journey. We have made mistakes, but we are striving to go forward. What we don't want is religion. We want truth, grace and truth. And Judas started this, and the disciples must have been saying, yeah, why is she doing that? We could have used that money for the ministry. We could have used it for the ministry. I don't believe, now, I can't verify this because there's no exclamation in the Greek, but Jesus, I believe, snapped on that, not snapped emotionally, but I believe that it was a response. We do know that he said this, leave her alone. And I don't believe it was leave her alone. I believe that he turned around and he said to every one of them, leave her alone. You don't know why she's doing this. She knows why she's doing this. She's preparing me for my burial. Strangely enough, he said this, as long as this gospel is preached, this will be spoken of her as a memorial. Hallelujah. Well, I fulfilled that this morning, didn't I? Let's take some more observations. I don't know where Peter's at in this. I don't know which one of these guys could represent Peter. But I do know this, that when he got to Peter says this, this is, God bless Peter, I'll give him a hall pass. He's not yet born again. And Jesus said, you don't understand what I'm doing. But hereafter you will, after you're born again, spirit filled. But his first response was just like us in the flesh. You're never going to wash my feet. Do you know your humility in not accepting anything he wants to give over to you is false humility? It's false humility. I don't deserve this. I don't we know we don't deserve it. But stop saying that. Just the greatest thing you can do is his example. When he got his feet washed, he didn't say anything. He just yielded. He just yielded. And then Peter, he still couldn't take it. Jesus said, if you don't let me wash, then you have no part in me. And then he goes way to the other side. Not just my feet, do my hands and my head. Well, I know he had a good heart, but still it's the epitome of the flesh. The flesh just doesn't know how to get quiet and say nothing and say, God, I just deserve what you give me, which is grace. Hallelujah. Jesus said something incredible. I can't get away from this. He said, no, Peter, not. You don't have to be cleansed all over again. Now I'm paraphrasing. But just your feet. What he was saying, you don't have to, Peter, in context with what he was about to do, he was saying, look, you don't have to get born again over and over again. But there is a continual washing that has to take place in your life. The blood is enough. Everybody say it, the blood is enough. The blood is enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Reuben, you're clean. If you will, please. You may want to pull up. I wash you as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. All that is mine is yours in life and death, till death do us part. Here you go, my brother. You know, when Peter said, Jesus said, you're not going to do this. And Jesus said, but you're clean. You're clean. They weren't yet born again, but his word was in them. It is so difficult for us sometimes to accept how powerful this blood is. Did you hear me? It is so difficult for us to accept. I had a woman, which I don't think any of you will identify. That's why I say it. Years ago, come into this ministry and was with us for a long time. And when she got here, I knew where she was coming from. She said, she really asked me an inappropriate question. Not that she was inappropriate, but you just don't ask questions like this. And I told my wife, I shared with her. She asked me, she said, Pastor, before I can come, this was the essence of it. She said, I want to know something. She said, have you ever had an affair on your wife? If I'm where I'm at now, I would answer her differently. But I did answer her correctly in the love of God, because I knew that she was coming from a place where she had been under a ministry with something, I guess. And I humored her in a certain sense by sharing with her what she asked me. Now, thank God. Thank God for his grace. I said, no, I never have. And for all of you that are wondering since, I never have. But here's the thing. Here's why it's inappropriate. She was saying this. I can't trust you unless your track record is approved by me. And your track record must be this. Here's where we do the blood of Jesus its greatest injustice. When we think that our natural track record has anything to do by way of comparison with what he did at the cross. I am thankful. I'm just grateful that nothing like that has ever happened between us. But let me say unequivocally, if it had, and if I had been forgiven and cleansed by his blood and forgiven by her, which she didn't have to even, for me to get cleansed by Him. I would be just as righteous, just as cleansed, just as ready to do ministry as any man that never had, because His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there are no track records. There are no track records. Well, a lot of times we're like, yeah, I know he got cleansed by the blood, but I still know some stuff. No, you don't know anything. You don't know anything except the blood. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, I didn't have these guys bid up here because I'm having problems with them. Reuben still has his towel. Mr. Matt. Hallelujah. You are clean by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as a servant. Hallelujah. Jesus, I bless these feet. I bless these feet. All that is mine is His in life and in death. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. The next observation I'd like for us to take into effect is that when Jesus was, in fact, prior to this, when He served the communion, Judas was there. Now, one of these guys is Judas. Do you know when He was washing Judas's feet, He did not stop wherever Judas might have been. He did not stop and say, "Hey, look, this is the guy that's going to do me wrong." They did not know. Why did they not know? Because this, Jesus was the epitome of love. And John's gospel says this, perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know what one of the strongest points in that whole thing is this? What if I get hurt again, Pastor? I cannot stand to get hurt again. I think I'll go. See, look, the whole thing was this. There's a reclusiveness that comes with hurts. In fact, there's spirits that come. We've all felt them at times. A word will be said or something. The moment will be a little tight with your friend or companion or in the church. It'll be a little tight. And what's the next thing you feel? You don't even know why you feel it subconsciously, but it's the war that we're in. There's a reclusiveness that it makes us feel like, I just want to kind of, I don't know why, but, you know, I just kind of want to be alone, and I just want to recluse back into my own. Listen, John said this, the things which report, in 1 John he said, the things which I report unto you, I testify you, that which we've seen, that which we've handled with our hands. Do you know one of the things that, now this is physical, but it speaks of something spiritual, we're supposed to be able to handle each other. And I mean that in the highest of regards. I've got my space. You know what that's saying? I'm living inside a space because I'm hurt. And we're supposed to, you know, when I feel that, and we've often felt it, I lean into it. I call them more. I'll go eat with them more. I'll say blessings over them more. Reclusion is not the Holy Spirit taking you out. It is the spirit of this world. We are adopted as children, sons and daughters of God, to come together in a oneness and celebrate Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Whenever Jesus was washing these disciples' feet, He did not identify, and this is not Judas, but had it been, I bless you, my brother, in Jesus' name. I speak life over these feet. I speak blessing over these feet. These feet carry the gospel. I speak your blessing over him all the days of his life. And I say to you, All that is mine is yours, in life and death. In Jesus' name. He did not identify. The Bible says, he later said, he that has lifted up his heel against thee. What does it mean, lift? We've taught that whole thing on that guy named Ahithophel. This was a typology of David's betrayal. Jesus was saying the man that lifted up his heel, watch this. Why was he saying lifted up his heel? Watch this. Look at my feet. Does my heels go up? Yes. Because I'm walking away a couple times in my life. A couple times. I have had people that I know loved me dearly that did not have the intent to walk out of my life. And the greatest hurt in that was this. I knew when they walked out, it was a sudden walk out. I knew that the hurt that I had mainly was this. I knew I would never have fellowship with those like that again. Jesus said, the one that I've ate bread with has lifted up his heel against me. You know what Jesus' greatest hurt was? That he had never seen Judas like that again. The next time he'd see him, he would be his betrayer. Let me tell you something about perfect love that casts out all fear. It's a never-ending love. And when John says that it cast out all fear, believe me in this. It has the power. You say, I don't believe it. Please, believe me. What he did with these men was the perfect picture. It was washing the scourge. I don't know who Judas is. I don't know which one of these guys will betray me. None of these guys will. But Jesus knew. But he would not identify it. I bless you, my brother. I bless these feet, for these feet are healed feet. These feet are manifest in life and grace. Till death do us part. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ remain upon you. No fear. No fear, but life and grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many times can I be hurt, Pastor, as a wife, as a husband? How many times can I be hurt as a partner, a business partner? Are there decisions sometimes that has to be made that change things? Yes. But is there a reclusion? Is there a hurt? Is there a shell that love stops at and says, I can't rescue you? Jesus did this. The greatest thing that he did when he washed all of these disciples' feet and did not identify and say, this is my betrayer. What he was doing was he was washing, his washing was washing the scourge of the betrayer off of the betrayer onto him and say, I'm going to the cross. My blood is going to be shed for your sins. Oh, but know this. Happy are ye if you do this, because let it remind you this. No one, I mean no one on this planet can ever put you in a cage and be your captive by the things that they have done to you as long as you realize that Jesus paid the price for your healing. Glory be to God. What can you do to me? What can you do to me? How many times can you do it that I do not always able to go back to him and say, Lord, you have washed this off of them and you've washed it off of me. Therefore, I will not be some kind of closed in, living my life with idiosyncrasies that show up every once in a while because I'm still living out of a hurt. You are my healer, Jesus. How long does it take, Pastor? Does it take weeks, months, years? It takes the moment that you say, Jesus, now I receive. I receive. You may have, here's the beautiful part. You may have been the one that something was done, or you may have been the one that did it. It does not matter. There is no track record under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold your head up high. Square your shoulders in the Spirit. Refuse lies and walk in the power of His truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. You can... Hallelujah. We're going to bring the communion table. Wow, we did good. 11:30. I took such persecution last week. Such as close to what Paul took when he was in the Tullian keep. Because we went a little bit over. Okay, a lot over. Okay. This morning, I'm going to ask these guys to put the table out here, and you'll be on your own now if you stay much past now. It's all because how much you want to be here. When you receive the bread and the blood, know this, that what you're believing God for is this. Deuteronomy 25 speaks about the contention that is settled through stripes. Do you know what the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ were for? Oh, they were for my healing. Primarily, one of the primary ways was not just, it's for the healing of each other. It's so that I can live totally and always free. And guess what? The freer you are, the more you're able to help others get free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, as you come forward and as you partake of this bread and of this cup, the Bible says, let a man examine himself, so let him eat. But don't eat of this body and this blood unworthily. And that's not talking about, well, I did this, I did that, I did that. What Paul again was talking about, rightly discerning the Lord's body, there is a heaven, there is a physical glorified body. And I know that we're supposed to think about what He did, but He really fashions that and says we're to discern each other, His spiritual body. And that we are supposed to allow those healing stripes. Now, how would you take this, Pastor? I would say this. If I was going through something, and I have many times before, I would say, Jesus, Your stripes were placed on Your body so that I am healed and that You heal them also. I refuse anything but to look at Your stripes, and I say that by Your stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? You don't have to be a member of this church. This may have been the first day you came in here. You're welcome to come. All of you, please come and receive. You say, well, Pastor, I've got things in my life. What did we just say about the blood? How powerful is it? Hallelujah. I'm going to invite you now. Father, I bless this time. As we receive this and as we prepare ourselves, let the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ come into this place. Let Your healing stripes manifest itself in and through us. Father, we choose, we as a family choose, to know this, by our love will they know that we are Your disciples. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. When you have received this, you're blessed. And your day is blessed and you can go about. Hallelujah. Come forward. Find a place as families. If you need somebody to pray for you, there are elders standing around. They will pray for you.